Content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should consider obtaining independent advice before making any financial decisions.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perrow columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. We've got an interesting one today, Gold Mountain. The company trades under the code GMN, or Golf Mike November. It was last quoted at 4.5 cents for a market cap of about 28 million. Now, Gold Mountain is hunting for big gold copper porphyries in central Papua New Guinea. It's in the same neck of the woods as some giant deposits like gold and gold copper deposits like Porgera, Ok Tedi, Frida River, Waffi Gold Pool, just to name a few. The company's been active in PNG since around 2012-2013, and it is getting to an interesting stage of exploration with the drill bit. Hunting for porphyries is a classic high-risk, high-reward sort of business. When a junior gets onto one, though, it can be company-making stuff. Two recent examples are the Brisbane-based and London-listed Soul Gold, which found the Alpala porphyry in Ecuador. It's gone from a junior company to having a market cap of $1.5 billion. Another example is the Perth-based Staveley, which has an interesting copper-gold discovery in Western Victoria on its hands. It hasn't found the porphyry source just yet, but the near-surface mineralisation it has found at its namesake project has given it a $200 million market cap. Now, it's a good time to be looking for gold and copper. The yellow metal remains at elevated levels, while the red metal has come storming back from its lows in the first half of this year as people worry about how the high growth demands from the electrification of everything in the world is going to be met. Now, we're lucky today to be chatting to Phil Jones. Phil is an exploration consultant to Gold Mountain, but more to the point, he is a recognised porphyry expert. With that, I'm going to say good day to Phil and welcome him to the podcast. Hi, Phil, and thanks for your time today.
And thanks for having me.
Good on you. Okay, Phil, tell us a bit about your career and what led you to joining Gold Mountain as a senior exploration consultant, I think in June last year.
Well, my career started way back in the 1978 period, which is a long time. So I've been around in exploration for a good 42 years. During that time, my first company was the Amoco Cyprus Minerals Stable, and I worked with him for 10 years and then was retrenched and then went immediately into contracting, comes consulting, and have been doing so ever since. With that, I have basically worked for almost every company on Australia's platform, many of them quite big companies. And some of them working in porphyries, but my background has been a generalist, pretty much, in exploration, but I've also loved the hunt for porphyries, and hence that's where I've ended up at the end of my career, more so now than ever before. But it started back in 1978 when I got a 2-week tour over into the Philippines, looking at porphyries over there, both on the island of Cebu and up on Baguio City, where there are numerous gold porphyries up there. And then basically from then on, the majority of my porphyry experience has been within Australia, and certainly within dominantly the Macquarie Arc of New South Wales, but also into other areas, including Kalimantan over in Indonesia, and I've done a lot of work in more recent times with business development with companies, where I've done project reviews for porphyries and gold systems, porphyry gold systems, for a number of clients, and there we have it. And I was asked to join up with Gold Mountain relatively recently, and I looked at the project and saw that it had a lot of legs. There was some drilling done, and they have actually found a porphyry system there that we intend to do a couple of more drill holes on to confirm some grades. Apart from that, we have a lot of project space to develop where they have come up with a lot of more regional-based projects now on that, in that same area along strike. And it is looking quite entertaining for an explorationist.
You're talking about the Wabag project there in central PNG. Just before jumping into the project, though, I was wondering if you could, not all of us are porphyry experts, I was just wondering if you could give the generalists amongst us a bit of a feel for what makes them such an attractive exploration target, and indeed an important part of the world's current supply and future supply.
Well, that's very true. They are an amazing deposit. They vary depending on porphyry styles. So, but in general, they carry copper and gold with a little bit of silver. But the things that make the porphyry so good, they are very large, so they have huge tonnages in general. The grades for the mineralization are generally quite good. They vary from what used to be in the 20, 20, 30 years ago, where they would be around the 1% copper type numbers, to nowadays people consider porphyries around the 0.5, 0.4% and even lower copper with plus or minus gold on top of that as being a good deposit. They are large, low grade, but bulk mineable propositions. If they outcrop, then you can make very large open cuts to get them out, so they're economic. Certainly some systems are able to be bulk mined at depth, and there are a number of those in Chile and around the world, including Grasberg in West New Guinea, West Irian. They are great deposits because they just produce for long time periods. Generally, you're looking at plus 20 years for deposits, and very large, easy to mine. Metallurgy is usually stupendous, easy to get out. And the only drawback is that they're getting harder to find.
Okay. PNG is obviously fertile ground, some huge porphyry systems up there. Let's have a look at the company's project, Wabag, home to Manoil and the Mount Whippy projects. Let's start with Manoil. What's the company onto there, you think?
The Manoil project is it's an amazing first up hit for a porphyry in an area that has had minimal to nil exploration. It's quite a large system. It's quite a few kilometres long by a few kilometres wide. So it's a big porphyry system. There is strong copper. There is strong molybdenum. There's not a lot of gold around, but there is a lot of gold that's found in some alluvials around the general area. So that's not indicative of potentially Manoil itself. We are planning to drill two further holes from the seven that have already been drilled, and they are testing beneath the best intercepts derived to date, and that will hopefully tell us whether or not the system is going to be one that is going to get us over the edge and come up with a viable system, or one that's going to be a low-grade system, which 99% of porphyries found are. But we basically believe that there is going to be some potential there underneath. We have everything telling us that. The geochemistry tells us that. So we're basically looking at that with two holes to confirm or deny, and then we'll go on from there.
You mentioned the first seven holes were drilled by the company. Were there some decent hits amongst those results?
Look, there were decent hits. There weren't economic hits, Barry, but they were certainly very interesting hits. There's a lot of copper there in the 0.1%, and there's a lot of molybdenum in the system as well, and with values consistently in the 30s to the 150 ppm, which is right up there with a lot of deposits around the world, and even higher. I mean, there were higher numbers too over narrow intervals, but this area had not been seen before. It hadn't been sampled before, so it was one that came out of the blue. But it is certainly an interesting area, and further on from that area, it's part of what appears to be a long structural trend with additional prospective ground along that.
And that tends to be a feature of porphyry systems. They tend to occur in clusters, do they?
They do indeed, and they are tapping very great depths. Structures are tapping these and letting these porphyries come up. They're essentially sit within large volcanoes, which over time have eroded. And these things may sometimes be outcropping. They may have considerable, considerable rock and other materials sitting on top. But the area at Manoil does sit on a major structural break. And then the work that's been done to a long strike from Manoil has certainly shown very good geochemistry along it, indicating that we still have anomalous geochemistry, both copper, gold, and molybdenum again, but also base metals, which tends to make us think that we still are looking at a high-level component of where these things are. So the porphyries may be deeper than what we see, but there's the soil sampling that's been done, for instance, at, say, Sack Creek, which is a long strike, has certainly shown up very good copper moly geochemistry.
Right. So given the work that's been done to date, the seven holes and the results you were just running through then, so it's fair enough to classify it as a very advanced prospect, in the sense that you're sort of vectoring into where you think the good juicy stuff might be.
Absolutely. Absolutely indeed. It's basically very early days. I mean, seven holes drilled just to confirm the fact that there is a porphyry at Manoil, but with the work that's been done, reconnaissance geology that's been done, and sampling geochemistry has been turning up remarkable continuity of mineralization along strike. And as you mentioned, the Mount Whippy project, which is even further again along strike from Sack Creek, sampling there on only a very recently granted tenement for Gold Mountain has returned some phenomenal results, first up results from people that have been trudging up the creeks, sampling the creeks, sampling the outcrop, etc., and coming up with highly anomalous copper and gold as well.
Yeah, just looking at an announcement here from the 23rd of September, rock samples collected from outcrops return assay values up to 9.6% copper and gold to 1.96 grams a tonne, or early stage stuff, but very encouraging, I take it.
Absolutely encouraging. It's and to have outcrop, which you can actually see, that is chalcopyrite rich, got a bit of bornite with it, got a bit of malachite and azurite, the oxide copper minerals, sitting right there at surface. It's wonderful to see. It's now a matter of joining the dots. There are lots of wide space sampling that are returning, greater than 1% copper numbers. So, and the local communities there are certainly doing a fair bit of alluvial prospecting, and they're certainly bringing up considerable nuggets and gold out of the creek systems. We are following those up, obviously, with stream sediment geochemistry, and there's a lot of legwork being done for both sampling and also geological mapping to try and understand what the geology is. But the early stages seem to show that there is a sequence of hornfels material, which is usually cooked sediments that are sitting on top of an eroded or slightly eroded, a couple of intrusive systems. We don't know a lot about them as of yet, but certainly the intrusives are there and they're covered by the Hornfels. So it looks like this has only just been partially eroded and is very interesting indeed if these are the porphyries where some of the mineralisation has been coming from.
Right. So I understand that at Mount Whitby there's also the potential for epithermal and skarn-style mineralisation. And that is that the upper reaches of the porphyry system you're talking about there? Or
that is correct. That's where you get the leakage from the porphyry systems, generally via quite large structures that sort of rim the intrusives themselves, the porphyries themselves, and the volatiles and the metals go up these structures basically by pressure release, and they find the nearest rock type that's conducive to taking the metals out of the fluids that are actually coming up the structure. And limestones in particular are very good at that because they're very reactive. And we do have limestones and marley rocks in these units, as well as just standard siliciclastics or sandstones in that area. So the structures are there. We know the mineralization is there because we've actually assayed a number of these structures which have good values. And all we need to do now is get more work done on trying to find skarns, because skarns can be, quite large, and they're usually peripheral to these ore bodies.
You mentioned earlier how long you've been in the game. You still get excited about, Mount Whitby, walk up, rock sampling, up to 9% copper and 2 grams a tonne gold. Still get the blood pulsing?
Oh, yes. when you look at the photos, because they have photos for every outcrop they go to, all GPS located, so we know where everything is, it is pretty amazing to see rocks like that. They're just standing out in the middle of the jungle that's saying, look at me, because you don't often get a chance to actually see those sorts of anomalies nowadays, because a lot of the world has been trudged over by geologists over many millennia. And I can tell you they're getting few and far to find.
Okay. So just to backtrack a sec, so at Manoil, drilling is about to start or has started? Or
look, I'm not sure. I must admit, I think it's about to start at the end of this month. So it's not too many days and it will be underway. The pads, everything's already to go. It's a matter of just getting the helicopters there to do the lift.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking relatively deep holes?
They will be relatively deep holes. We're looking at, say, around about an 800-metre hole.
And although it's a four-hole program, if you hit some good stuff, it will be off to the races. And
it will be very much so.
Okay. And the forward program at Mount Whitby from here now?
There is a lot of work to be done at Mount Whitby. We are very much reconnaissance stage, getting out there. We have defined a number of areas. We have a lot of rock chips already in the assay labs at the moment, and also stream seds. So that data will be coming hopefully hot off the presses in not too many weeks, going through the lab. But early days. There's a lot of legwork that needs to be done there. There's a lot of anomalies that need to be followed up. So there's many months coming up where there's going to be a lot of legs on ground following up creeks, looking for geology, looking for finding anything they can possibly find to help locate that next ore body.
Right. And do we know where base camp is in that part of the world for the guys on the ground?
Look, there is a base camp a fly camp, I think it is at the moment, at Mount Whitby. Now, if that's going to be a major centre, I'm sure that will probably be upgraded. But I think the main camp is at Manoil itself, where they've got the facilities and houses for doing the work, cutting the core, drying the samples, doing the sample prep that's needed.
Obviously, in that part of the world, modern exploration techniques obviously very different to what was the case back in the 70s or 80s or even the 90s for that matter. Are you employing much in the out of the toolkit in terms of geophysical work, or is it really walking the creeks?
Look, to be perfectly honest, you're going to get the best data you're going to get is going to be out of the creeks. But the only geophysical data that we have that's of good enough standard to use is, and it is quite good standard, it's 400 meter space aeromag. Now, the aeromagnetics at 400 meters is very wide spaced. So we plan to try and cover some of the Mount Whippy targets with more detailed aeromag down to probably 100 meter spacing, maybe even less, depending on how we go. But it will give us a lot more information on the lithology, on alteration, and also on potential skarn type mineralization, which often is associated with magnetite, which is a very magnetic mineral.
Right. Okay. Fascinating stuff, Phil. And from an investor viewpoint, how good is it? We've got all that action in the Staveley Arc in Western Victoria now for porphyries, the Macquarie Arc, which Phil touched on with Alkane exploration and obviously the existing producers there. And we've got Gold Mountain flying the flag on the porphyry front in PNG. So with that, I'm going to say thanks for your time today. Very insightful, and best of luck with it. We'll be watching with interest as time goes by. Cheers, mate.
My pleasure. Cheers.